protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Claire works with this is our with the San Diego Seals.
Hello and thanks for listening to Seal City SD. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Seals Jagoff.
Oh, hey guys.
Hey. We're also joined by the real Andy Keats.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Hey.
So this was lost because we actually taped an episode in the parking lot, kind of, for one of the games. But I thought I came up with a good bit where we start calling Andy, where he switches, he puts on his sexual assault hat when he comes to work, and he takes off his sexual assault hat and becomes Lacrosse Andy. And then that's when he starts saying things like wand and rock.
Yeah.
Like,
do you have any response to that, Andy?
I just want to make it clear that sexual assault, Andy, is in reference to covering sexual assaults, not committing. That's the only apprehension I have about this whole premise.
Well, and this is some crossover here, so I'm not sure, because we are taping at the Voice Studios here today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
we are. Is this the first episode of Seal City SD that
in the official studio?
Yeah, it is.
So I mean, in some ways, you are probably still sexual assault Andy here, while also being Lacrosse Andy. So I think it'll be pretty interesting for the listeners today.
That's great. I'll have to come in and out of both personas.
And you can become a member at the Voice of San Diego, voicesandiego.org.
Yeah, should do that, definitely.
All right. Well, we have the hottest team in the NLL, I think, right?
I think.
Yeah, didn't the Swarm drop one a couple weeks ago?
I think so. So yeah, that's so five in a row. Because we were lingering in San Diego mediocrity for just a moment there, at 4-4.
Yeah. It was easy to hide that we were 4-4 because we were still tied for first place. But five straight wins really took hold of the division.
And we're beating good teams. I mean, yes. According to, let's see, what's that website? Inside the NLL? The Seals are never picked to win games, I've noticed. They do like full blog previews. There are power rankings, and basically they pick whoever we're playing. Vancouver, Calgary, Saskatchewan for sure.
Oh, and always with like a little pat on the head. Like, the Seals are having a really impressive season with a mix of young and old players, but the pick here is Calgary to win the game.
Yeah.
You know?
The Magic's not going to last forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I mean, we have to earn our way. We have to carve out an identity, and I think we have. You know, we're in the playoffs, guys. I mean, that's real.
Clinched.
Hashtag clinched.
And I guess what I don't understand about it is, like, they actually are playing quite well in, like, their offensive sets. They controlled the game against Calgary in every way and scored in a bunch of different ways. They spread the scoring out. It went from the Austin Stotts show a month and a half ago. It's not that anymore. There's, you know, Garrett Billings is scoring, I think he had 8 points last week and 9 points the week before.
They had three different players with 8 points last game, right?
Right, yeah. Casey Jackson had 4-4, and Dan Dawson, who I guess we should get into this, entered the 500 goal club. So one of the best players in the history of the league.
That's good, right?
That's good.
That's a lot of goals, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So he was already in the top five all-time scoring, and now he's the fifth guy to make it to 500. That's incredible.
Yeah, and the first righty. According to Inside Lacrosse.
Do we know, is he the highest active player right now? Like, I don't know the Hall of Fame.
I believe
players
he is.
In the NLL.
I believe he is. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But he's been really impressive and even highlight reel worthy, because I think it was the game before last against Saskatchewan. When was the one where he was on the ground?
Yeah, that was against the Rocks. Yes. That was a home game.
I mean, that was like a SportsCenter highlight, that play.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? What do you think the playoffs are going to be like? I mean, they're coming up. They're around the corner. We have a couple home games coming up. And do you think the crowd will show up? Do you think people are ready for a successful San Diego franchise?
I mean, you hear them starting to push it, right? I don't know if you heard Govett. Govett was on with Ben and Woods yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And Govett was starting to bang that drum and start. And I think they're trying to build some momentum because they do have really weird scheduling. And I think it's because of the strike, but they closed the season with three home games in a row. So this weekend, they've got a doubleheader. Then they've got three home games in a row. And then you move into possibly home field advantage for the playoffs. So it's a lot of consecutive games. And meanwhile, the Padres are playing.
Yeah.
And there's just there's a lot of stuff going on. So I can kind of tell the Seals are starting to go into overdrive on publicizing things. And they had a really cool offer yesterday, right? I mean, are we ready to go into Inside San Diego Fringe Sports, our new segment?
The San Diego Sports Fringe Festival? Yeah. That's what I call the segment. But yeah, I know that it's the big news around town, especially to my dad for some reason, is that the Fleet have basically folded.
Yes.
The Fleet, RIP to the Fleet. You know, they really tried. They tried to bring a entertainment product to us and put San Diego on it, and it just didn't work out. There was a lack of funding, and you know. But basically, the Seals are offering a deal where you can bring your tickets for their next game and get free tickets to the Seals. So I think that's a really smart move.
Customers are just out the money. I mean, they're not getting reimbursed. They're not getting
anything.
Yeah, it
sounds like it. I don't know about. Yeah, do we know about that yet?
I don't know.
I mean, they're not even flying the players home.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing they're not not paying out reimbursements out of pocket for the tickets.
Well, shout out to all the Fleet podcasts that popped up. That was kind of an interesting thing about the Fleet, was that they had this infrastructure of like online media well before the first game. I mean, some of these podcasts had like 12 episodes before their first
all kinds of interviews with players and owners and general managers. Like, it was very impressive what Fleet Twitter was able to put together.
Well, hopefully people can just, you know, take that energy and bring it to the Seals, because we got a playoff team and we're not going anywhere.
Well, I keep retweeting your tweet where you were like, what if we just don't have football? That's fine.
Yeah, like, you cannot do it.
That's an okay option. Like, you don't have to have it. Like,
well, I went to the Strike Force, the first game of the Strike Force, and it just
I feel like you're still recovering from
that. Yeah, I think about it every day. It was really, it felt destructive to our community. Like, you guys don't have to be doing this, you know.
Yeah. Look, high school football season's, you know, a few months away. Like, we don't need... We don't need a pro football team, do we? Like, there's other pro sports. Like, that's part of the reason we're doing the podcast in the first place, right? Because we decided to go out and discover a new sport and decided we liked it. Like, I think that's something that a lot of people could do. And that's obviously been, I mean, when we had Govett on the podcast, that's kind of what he said. Like, we want to get someone out to one game and sell them on the product, and I think they'll come back. Like,
yeah, well, I think it's also like the Dean Spanos takes the Chargers away. The Seals are this new thing, but also it's a new personality as an owner coming into town and trying to do something. So that's what attracted me to it mainly. It was just like, this guy could do it differently, even though it's a minor league sport or a fringe sport. It's, you know, the Fleet thing is interesting, because like, it really did feel like people had to go and like show Dean something.
Well, and that's how like Kaplan was pushing it.
Yeah, it was like a response to Dean. And it's just like, I wonder if we could just get to a point where we don't have to respond to whatever the Chargers are doing. We don't have to play football. You don't have to.
And like, comparing as a city, like constantly comparing yourself to LA or trying to size up against other cities and being like, well, is this city like, maybe we're not NFL caliber, but we need to be football caliber, right? As if that's like this new tier of how you measure a quality of a city. Like, it's just, it's unnecessary. And I don't know if time is going to fix it, or something like the Seals winning a championship could fix it, but it's, I don't know. I think that's an interesting point of fringe sports in the city.
I also think the Seals and the Fleet offer an interesting contrast in that. So the Seals are an expansion team, but the NLL has been around for, you know, over 30 years, right? And I think there is, and the same could be said of the Soccers, you know, the leagues have gone through different reincarnations, but it's essentially been a through line of the same.
From the point of view of the consumer, it's the same.
Yeah, and my understanding is a lot of the owners have carried over from one league to the next. And the Fleet came, you know, the AAF and the Fleet came in with this idea that success meant that you had to be on CBS and you had to tie yourself to the NFL, and there had to be this clear selling point that this was a legitimate extension of the football that you already know and love, and like a sheepishness towards accepting that you are a fringe sport. And like, I like that the NLL recognizes its place in the world and keeps doing it. And of course they want to grow. Of course they want to attract more people. Of course they want to make more money, but there is nothing to be ashamed about of, if you like lacrosse and if you like sports in general, of having a sustainable, viable, profitable league that carries on for a long time. And yeah, there's a lot of turnover. Some of these teams die, and you know, Rochester Nighthawks after decades are relocating. And so like that is part of life in a second tier or third tier league. But if the alternative is that this, you know, this money man for the AAF essentially shutting the league down when he acknowledged that there wasn't going to be multiples of returns on his investment and that he saw the best opportunity to try to leverage the tech that they had developed for the app, like, get out of here. I have no interest in that with my sports.
Right.
Yeah. I think the NLL has taken a page from hockey in that it really does feel like they're interested in growing the sport from the inside. Like, everybody's just, if you're coming to the NLL, you're a lacrosse person.
Yeah.
In the way that hockey feels, like, they don't really care about broadening the tent that much.
And you find the regions where it works and you nurture it in those regions and you grow as much as you can. And if a new region like Colorado 15 years ago or San Diego right now embraces it, great. That's good for the sport and it's good for the league. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to open up on CBS with this big show and announce yourself as having arrived. Like, build some sort of plan, 5-year plan to be a successful product.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Govett, at least from the standpoint of San Diegans, I think he made me feel a lot better, because he actually went into the discussion of how teams fail in mm-hmm. this league, right? And it's usually an undercapitalized owner that can barely pay the bills. And we're lucky here that we have a fully capitalized, incredibly wealthy, devoted to the sport owner, because, Govick did give us, he gave us his word, right? They're coming back next year. So that's a big win, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we talked about it with Govick, but like, having the Seals come back for a second year in a fringe league, that's a pretty big victory. And we've lost that game many times in San Diego. So
yeah, I think the league was in San Francisco for just 1 year and in Anaheim for just 1 year.
Right.
So they had tried West Coast expansions that just didn't take.
Yeah. Well, you feel it at the events. Like, they are putting money into making it a comfortable presentation, and just like, there's so much staff around. You kind of know, you feel like you're being taken care of. At the Strikeforce game I went to, I felt like I could steal things. I thought I could like steal a beer if I wanted to. There was nobody there.
But, I mean, I do think that the Seals have successfully built like a core audience. Mm-hmm. Like, you walk around the halls at halftime and there's an awful lot of people wearing Seals gear. Like,
there is.
The casual fan that just wants to try it out.
Including the jersey that costs like
$150. Yeah. I'm not buying that jersey.
I just got t-shirts. Great.
Yeah. I think their plan, and you know, assuming because they have enough money to survive it and do it, go out there for a few years, like, you have that core audience and you keep building on it, and that 3,000 at the game turns into 5,000, and you know, you grow it from there. I don't know what the ceiling is in San Diego, but
I don't know what the ceiling is either. I wonder if the last game, the Rush game, that was the lowest attendance that I
had observed.
Yeah. And there's been some talk about whether they're inflating the attendance numbers. It seems like they kind of are. But
I don't think it matters.
Who cares,
really?
Right?
I don't care, but
I don't even have a conception in my head of what the difference between 9,000 and 7,000
right.
is anyway. So they're both imaginary numbers to me. So, but I wondered if the what we saw last week was sort of what the floor was for their attendance figures. It'll be interesting to see with this 3 straight home game schedule, because as you say, it does not line up well for them. They had a truncated launch schedule because of the strike, and now the meat of the season coincides with when the Padres are back and people might be back for that.
It seems like what they could do, if they could pull it off, if the NLL just became like the anti-hot stove league, or the thing that you use to like get through the hot stove. If it started in November and finished right before spring training ended.
Well, I think that's usually the plan.
Probably the
is
idea.
That what the schedule normally is? Is that because of the labor strike?
Yeah, because wasn't the first game supposed to be like the first week of December
December.
Yeah, but is the finals pushed back too? Is that?
I think everything's pushed.
I think
back,
it pushes back. Everything,
okay, well,
basically
that would,
a month.
I think that would fit.
Because
yeah.
instead of cutting the season short, didn't they just tack on extra games onto the end so that mm-hmm. we still got our 18-game season? They could have cut it to like a 15-game season or something. But
I thought that's what those double headers were, but. I'm new, so.
We're all learning.
We're all new.
Yeah, well, you know, I brought some friends to the game at the Rush game, and they basically knew nothing about it. They just saw, the Seals ads everywhere, and they came, and they had a blast. I mean, they couldn't believe how competitive the game was and how, I mean, that they got to see a pretty great game, the Rush game. It was down to the wire, but they couldn't believe, they didn't know exactly what they were watching, but it was like, this is a party, you know, people are having fun.
I brought a buddy, and his take, which I think is a good one, was that like he was just, he thought it was a very high level. He's not like a lacrosse expert, but like it seems stupid to say, but they're very good.
Yeah.
And so the game plays well because they catch every ball. They pick up loose balls quickly. There's never a sad scrum where you go, this is pathetic. Where like you could see the low level of play at Strikeforce, right?
Yeah.
You can like the
or Fleet.
Like, yeah, Fleet. Like even if you don't have a great grasp of the game you're watching, quality speaks for itself. And the I think one thing that the Seals have going for them is every team that steps in there plays the sport well, and so you actually get a good feel for what the sport is supposed to look like because they're playing it at a high level.
Yeah,
you make a good point, because before the last game we were all flinging the yeah. rock around yeah. with our wands.
Yes.
Right,
the pill.
And the pill
right?
Yeah,
right?
And you make a point that like you don't ever see them drop the ball. Like,
yeah
if you don't know any better, you're like, well, that's pretty easy, like that's the ante to just play. And like, we flung a ball into a car at a gas station. I don't know how many balls we went chasing, and we're standing stationary and throwing the ball like 15 yards. Like,
right.
just successfully completing a game of catch is difficult. And so
we did not
successfully complete that. Yeah, our old pal Gavin.
Yeah.
Actually had us chastised by the parking lot attendant for, what did he say? Like, if you guys don't know what you're doing, then don't play catch anymore.
Yeah, if you're a Seals Twitter follower, follow Gavin. He's a GIF artist.
Yes, that's
one of the best I've ever seen.
Better at GIFing than he is at catching and throwing.
Yeah, but then you add that in. I mean, if you watch a high school game, they're not going to catch every pass. Like,
right.
Like, you can tell the difference in quality. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the fact that we don't even think about that stuff when you watch the Seals, like, kind of shows what level of professionalism and skill they're bringing to the game.
Well, and it allows you to see the full display of the sport, such as they complete full offensive sets. You can see that they're running concepts. You can see that they're setting up plays, that there is a vision that is being realized, that there's coaching, and then they're executing the game plan effectively. Whereas, like, yeah, you go to a high school game and there's three good players on the team, and three, you know, and four or five hacks, and you never get through an offensive play because they drop the ball every time. Like, it's hard to get a sense of the game when you're watching at that level. This level, you really see everything that they're trying to do.
So you mentioned the style of play. We've obviously are enjoying the style of play, and I'd say most of the fans there. But we learned, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, that the Union Tribune, the newspaper of record, does not share our opinion of the quality of play. Did you guys read the Todd Leonard?
The Todd Leonard piece?
Yeah. The
part
visit
of a series.
To a Seals game.
Part of a series. He's been visiting and reviewing the experience of every fringe sport in town.
Yes.
Right?
The Fringe Festival? He didn't want to use that?
That's gold content.
So, yeah, what do you...
Don't give that to the UT.
I won't give it to them. That's ours. But, what did you think of the article, Andy?
I think maybe it didn't rub me quite as badly as it rubbed you guys. I took his two main compliments, which I agree with, are that it's clearly like a Class A product. It has a professional feel in the in-stadium production, the jerseys, logos, everything about the experience feels like you're at a professional event, which I totally agree with, and I think is one of its strengths. And he also said that as somebody who had not been familiar or acquainted with the game, that he has come to really appreciate and be impressed by the level of skill on display, that so sort of what we're talking about here, that their ability to catch and throw and make good passes and shoot into tight quarters has impressed him. So if I had brought a friend to a game and those were two takeaways, I would consider that a success. But he also said some other things.
Like?
Well, I mean, so I was trying to pull up the article. I can't find it because their website is such garbage. But basically, he said he didn't enjoy the style of play. And he commented he didn't enjoy quite a few other things. But specifically, he talked about the style of play. And he said that there's too much scoring. I think he said that it is kind of a half-court game, right? They bring the ball down and they play a half-court offense
a
lot of times.
Full line change, basically.
Yeah. He said he didn't like that. He didn't really give reasons why he didn't like it, but he just said he didn't like it. And I think he said that the chaos of the transitions was also something that he didn't necessarily like. I mean, he had commented on some game experience stuff. He didn't care for the music. He didn't care for the attendance inflation, allegedly.
Yeah, he didn't like the music, which I could see being a controversial thing. I could see some real traditional sports nuts saying, turn the volume down or have no music at all. Let's just watch the game. I don't really care.
But there would be no sound. See, that's a thing. I think we talked about it in the parking lot, but like I went to their media day, right?
Yeah.
And Govett actually talked about the music and said, look, they're running on carpet in sneakers, basically.
Yeah.
There's no even sound. Like, you're catching it in a net. So even catching the ball is silent. There would be no noise in the arena without the music going. Like, it's a different sport. Like, even soccer, there's not that much noise, but there's still the sound of the impact on the foot. Like, there's nothing with lacrosse. So
basketball has the squeaking.
You need to fill it with something. And let's not pretend basketball doesn't play a bunch of music during the games also.
Baseball is the same way. I mean, baseball, you can't – there's no quiet moments at Petco anymore.
Decibel level-wise, Petco's way louder than the sports arena is.
Yeah, and I'm – So the soccers play music during games, but maybe quieter?
Quieter and a different, you know, they play, you know, Village People and, you know, different brand of music.
Families.
But, I mean, for the same reason, they do it to fill the arena with noise of some kind.
Yeah, you don't want to feel bored in there.
It's the same reason I run a fan at my desk, because I need some noise to fill the just vacuum.
I also, I think, like, it's fine to just accept that this is a sport that some large percentage of the arena at any given day is not going to be completely invested in, and it's fine to give something to them. I don't really feel the need to be a traditionalist on the front.
Well, they're also doing so much outreach with kids, and so remember we were down in the tunnel during the game, Seals Jagoff, but we were down there, and these moms were just talking about, like, oh, they came to their school and they just love it. They just love these seals. They can't get enough of these seals.
It was like the Point Cabrillo Elementary or something.
Yeah, they were
like,
they'd
gone out there and did lessons, and like the kids loved it so much that they demanded to go to the games. Like that, and that's kind of the thing. That's why kind of undercapitalized owners can't survive, because to build that kind of stuff, like, you need to be having a player that's living here, because most of them don't live in the cities they play in. Like, I don't know if they're being, I'm assuming they're being paid a little more to kind of do this outreach, and the poor owners can't do that. The rich owners can put in the time to do that.
Yeah. I also
kids were into it.
Yeah, it was
along with Nick Hardwick down there.
He was down there.
As far as his dislike of the substitution disrupting the flow of the game and kind of creating offensive sets and defensive sets. Like, when I played box lacrosse, you had five guys out there and you played both sides, right? Like, I think most like low level box lacrosse that is the way you play. This is better. Frankly, like, this is better. Having five guys who are professional offensive players, who are professional goal scorers, and five defensive players who are, like, you know, like, Merrill gets every loose ball. It's uncanny. In the defensive set, Merrill gets every loose ball, and on every clear, he's the guy that brings the ball across. He's a really good player at a very specific skill set, and you get if you take the specialization out of it, you would see a less impressive offensive game. Sure, you get a 5 second delay between the transition and the offensive set, but the result is Austin Stott's getting more attempts to go to the goal. It's fine trade-off. I'm willing to make it.
Well,
for instance, the designated hitter is the better way to play baseball.
Yeah, the transition thing never bothers me. I don't know what he's talking about with that. Like, it does get jumbled in the middle of the field, but it doesn't really seem to distract. You know, one of my friends that came with us on Friday, she thought the most thrilling part of the game was the half court, because they were so violent with each other.
Yeah.
It's not like soccer or basketball where they're kind of bumping into each other, but they're actually like really going after each other. And
yeah, every pick is a physical confrontation.
Yeah, like, I think the half court isn't as boring as other sports, if there's that.
I think it's thrilling. I love that.
I think it's thrilling. Yeah. I think both of them are. I think the transition is also thrilling, because you sit there even watching on TV and you're like, well, is the defender going to get the angle in time? Like, is he sprinting fast enough? How fast is their guy? Like, I think that always, every single transition, I'm kind of gripped by what will happen.
And it's great because it is quite rare, only a few times a game that they that it actually creates a genuine opportunity.
And that's a sign of good lacrosse, right? Okay.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's like basketball. If all you saw was fast breaks and dunks, it'd be like, this is sloppy.
Yeah. Right?
Well, Todd Leonard described it as, then there's a lot of running around to beat the 30-second shot clock. Somebody fires away, and if it's not a goal, it's rinse and repeat with the changes. So...
It's like hockey,
basketball. It seems like he actually says, unlike hockey and soccer, it's almost played as a half court game. Which I don't know how many soccer games you guys have watched, but it's a half court game, and many times hockey is also a half court game. And God forbid we ever get an NBA team here, because Todd Leonard's not going to appreciate that half court offense.
Also, and I'm not a hockey expert, but I appreciate hockey the most when. It is a half court game when you actually see them set up, when it's, you know, dumping around in the middle of the ice and people are just changing and no one has possession. It's sloppy.
When it's just NHL 94 on Genesis, where you pass the ball to Mario or pass the puck to Mario Lemieux, and you don't pass it off, you do the wraparound.
Right.
Like
always
it's
a wraparound.
Yeah. Same with like youth sports. Like you give the ball or the puck to your best player and then you just let them go score.
Right.
Like that's not as entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, the half court game is what makes it like a great team sport.
Yeah, when you see a well-executed goal in lacrosse, it's like it's an exciting event. We're arguing with the guy's taste.
He's a golf writer.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
We should have him on.
Yeah.
He did attack our beloved friend of the show, Stephen Woods, as well. Which
did he? What did he say about Woodsy?
We'd prefer if PA announcer Steve Woods didn't bellow that every time the guy makes a save, referring to him saying Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank.
Kind of ruins the effect. So, too, does often begging your fans to cheer.
Huh?
The Frank the Tank thing's a good bit.
It's our only bit.
Yeah.
Woods actually explained it on the radio the next day where it's like other teams have bits like that. It's just in San Diego, nobody knows the players yet. So,
right.
Like, I think the goal for Woods is to eventually turn it into him going, Frank!
Yeah.
And then the crowd yells, the tank!
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's
sure.
A good crowd bit.
Absolutely.
It's not bad.
Yes, Frank is a goddamn tank.
Yeah.
Though, let's be honest.
We can talk about him a little bit because he's been saving... This team.
Last game, especially.
Last game for sure.
Or, no, two games.
Saskatchewan, that was his game.
Yeah.
The last 5 minutes of that was
amazing.
There was a one-goal lead, and they held him scoreless for 5 minutes. Both teams were
including
scoreless for 5 minutes.
I think two open shots on goal. Two one-on-one.
One-on-ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to say that, you know, the crowd wasn't as big as what we hope it would be, you know, but like, the crowd seemed very smart. Like, everybody knew what was going on. Everybody was engaged. So it didn't feel like it was that low.
And the Wings game was that way as well. But the last two games, the crowd size has been down, but locked in.
Yeah,
and,
you can tell.
And the noise hasn't really been reduced.
And it's been loud. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't notice that big of a difference in the noise between opening night, which was packed, and let's say the Saskatchewan game, because I think you're right that now they have that core group of knowledgeable fans that are starting to understand the game and the players, and they know when to be loud, and it's creating a really great in-person experience.
Yeah,
I really enjoy going to the games.
Well, it feels like, you know, life is hard and San Diego sports can be hard, but this feels like a vacation from all that. Every time I go, it's just, I'm taking a break. I'm going to see the Seals, and they're probably going to beat up some cow town from Canada. Like, that's how it is.
Well, also, like, speaking of which, just before, like, an hour before we came in here to record, the Seals announced that they've pushed the start date of the next two Friday night games from 7 to 7:30 in response to fans saying it's too hard to get there at 7.
All right.
Great.
I'm personally not a fan of it.
You're not a fan? Oh, because you're already down here.
Well, no. I want to go with my 5-year-old, and 7:30 pushes it where, like, pushes bedtimes and stuff. So.
Yeah.
For me personally, like, I prefer when the Padres play Saturday games at 5:30, I would prefer the Saturday game. Saturday games, I think, should be earlier. There's no traffic.
Yeah.
Right.
Saturday games can be early. I agree with that.
But Friday games. I get it, but it's not like traffic's gone. I still can't drive there on Fridays.
It's not a traffic issue so much as just like, I just need a little bit more buffer between things.
Sure.
I don't like going from one thing to the next.
Wow, listen to cyclist Andy over there. Doesn't have to worry about traffic.
That's true.
Well, so we have a doubleheader coming up this weekend. What's at stake? Is there like how did the playoffs work, and is there a seeding battle that we are seeding?
So right now we are currently two games ahead of the Rush, right?
Okay.
We are playing a really tough weekend. So I don't know how many people have looked at the standings, but there seems to be quite a difference between the Western Division and their divisions or conferences.
Yeah.
And the Eastern Division. Like, number of goals scored on the Eastern Division is just higher than us. Maybe our defenses are better. I don't know.
Yeah. But. Well, and the Atlanta Swarm. I watched one of their games, and they are
I too watched one of their games. And it's like, it's almost like a different sport. And it may have been because I think they were playing Rochester, the game I saw. But, like, they're amazing. Like,
their offensive set looks like our extra man offense.
Yeah.
It's just the ball moves
the speed
so
of the
quick.
Ball movement, yeah. the number of passes they get in, the accuracy of the shots, like it's incredible. I mean, there's also like some personal storylines in that our ultimate hero, Austin Stotts, his brother Randy is on the Georgia Swarm and is one of the best players and is generally one of the highest point scorers in the NLL. So
right. And also on that team are Lyles and Miles Thompson, who are brothers, and Lyles is like maybe the best player in the league. So
it's actually
going to
be a really
good.
And we were talking about it, you know, the Seals get talked about by the you know, national NLL media as, you know, this cute little expansion team. This is one of those games where if they win it, it totally changes that narrative. So the people of Canada will finally appreciate the Seals, I think.
I think if they split this weekend, that would be a successful weekend because they're playing. They played
New England
as well, which is
who started off really hot and has recently lost three in a row. But they're still, you know, a playoff team.
Yeah, they're still. If you look at like the Inside Lacrosse Power rankings, they're like sixth or something like that. So yeah, they're going to make the playoffs and they'll be good. So if you get one out of two, that's fine. I don't know how many games do the Rush have this weekend. Probably just one.
I don't know that, but I know that they need to have a catch-up doubleheader at some point.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think that they can regain first place this weekend.
Okay.
But the Georgia Swarm game should be really entertaining.
It'll also just be an interesting measuring stick to see where we are. Cause, as you said, there does seem to be a difference in level of play between the East and the West right now.
I mean, that being said, I think you were the only one that actually watched the game, but the game against the Toronto Rock is another one of those kind of measuring stick games, and they did lose the game, but they were in position, what'd they lose it, like 12-11, I think, at Toronto, and with a power play like the last 5 minutes, the Seals had the chance to tie the game up or win, and, you know, they didn't, but they were in that game.
And that was a month and a half ago when they were scrapping along at, I think they were that loss took them to 4-4, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so they've won five straight since then. And in my opinion, on the offensive end, have looked far more coherent. Garrett Billings, who wasn't in the league last year, has really emerged as a focal point of the offense and seems to be playing much better. Stotts,
Dawson.
Yeah. And Stotts has been de-emphasized since that time. But it appears to be to the betterment of the offense.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, but Stotts draws like the double teams, triple teams even sometimes, and I think that's opening up the opportunities for the other guys.
Yeah. Also, man, Casey Jackson. And Kyle Buchanan, man, another guy. Another guy who is so canny with loose balls in the offensive side. He gets so many extra possessions just from controlling loose balls after they've already got a shot off.
Is there a name for that type of player? Is like a grinder.
Scrapper. Yeah.
They same used to
thing.
Call him a Keats in the day, back in Maryland.
Yeah. My old man used to only compliment me based on the number of ground balls I had, never the number of goals or assists I had.
Because that's a hustle play.
That's a hustle play. Yeah. Wow. It's very like white sports.
Hey, hustle doesn't go into a slump.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
So it's a big weekend.
It is a big weekend.
I do believe they have a watch party for the Friday.
Yeah, there's a
Georgia
watch party
Swarm
at,
game.
Watch party at Coronado Brewing. There's not one on Saturday, but I want to watch it somewhere.
Are you?
Let's put something.
Are we
going to
try to get it?
Let's talk to Bay City. Let's see
if we can bring a stick and
bring it.
Yeah. Okay.
A fire stick, not a cross stick.
Well, we'll bring some wands if it's Bay City. You can.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Take out
in
the patio
outdoor,
out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And. Seal Jagoff, we started a WordPress and a new feed for just this podcast.
New feed just for this podcast, for like new listeners or whatever. I think it's live on Google Play.
Cool.
And it should be coming on iTunes whenever they approve it, probably late this week.
So the episodes will still be in our respective
feeds. We're blanketing the San Diego podcast scene with Seals content.
Hey, man, it's the number one Seals podcast in America.
Hey, actually, I didn't mention this, but neither of you came, of course, but I did have a full tailgate. I had a tailgate in the parking lot before one of the games. I brought my daughter for her first Seals game, second Seals game. I don't remember, but bought some chicken nuggets, and there was quite a turnout in the parking lot for that. Like, I think there's a real community being built around the Seals right now.
Yeah, I think
and this podcast, really.
I think a lot of people just think it's fun. It's a good time. I don't know. It's
like, you know, I noticed on the Wikipedia page for the NLL that it has, like, the list of awards that they give out, and there's, like, you know, best offensive player. They have an award for best media personality, and I really don't know why we wouldn't be considered for that.
We would need to, you know, it's sort of like an Oscar campaign. We need to choose one of us. We need to start sending the voters some information.
I think it's time.
Yeah. Do you think they would give it to Seals Jagoff? Do you think they would print that in the official materials?
We'll lay the groundwork for like a career Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that, I mean, the other winners have been podcasters. Like it's like Teddy Jenner and some other guy. Like the guys are pulling 200 downloads. We're crushing those guys.
All right. Well, we should just
Let's make Andy our guy.
We should start with Cy and be like, Joe, throw your weight around. Let's get some Seal City SD love.
Stotts isn't just going to be the rookie of the year. Yeah. Govitt's not just going to be the executive of the year. We can get a clean sweep on this.
Yeah. This would be huge.
All right. Well, you know, I guess that's it. Well, you can follow Seals Jagoff at HJ Preller, I guess. Follow me at Nicholas _ McCann.
It's a good sentence. You can follow Seals Jagoff at HJ Preller. Great.
Yeah. Andy Keats is on the internet too.
Yeah. There's an underscore in there between the things.
Let's head on down
to
the playoffs.
Yeah. Go Seals.
Go Seals.
Do it. Protect this field. Player hurts, this is our head with a San Diego.